By the by, we have a guest. Kia ora, George, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Oh,
How are you?
I'm so great. Thanks so much for joining us from Melbourne this morning.
That's okay, no worries.
Nice. So you're of the frontman of Shot Corridor, is that right?
Shot Corridor, yeah.
Gorgeous.
I'm the singer.
You're the singer.
Singer and dancer, song and
And
dance man.
dancer.
Yeah,
That's so great.
sometimes. Yeah.
If we get to see you live, you'll be dancing, presumably as well.
Yeah, I'll be always, yeah, I'm always dancing.
Amazing,
Yeah,
amazing.
absolutely.
Now you guys are relatively early in your stages as a band, so I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about your origin story, how you guys all came together, what that journey's been like.
Well, yeah, it's funny. It feels really early, but we've been playing for almost 6 years.
Oh, wow.
We kind of started, at the end of 2019 and just making music with a smaller collective of us, and then, kind of kept jamming and writing and writing and writing through like various lockdowns here in Melbourne. And then kind of finally in 2023, when things were really, really open in Melbourne, because it was all delayed here, our friend Saskia joined on violin, and kind of the solid 6-piece outfit was formed, and we kind of started playing gigs from there. So it
Right.
only really kind of came into fruition around early 2023. And since then, it's just been a lot of playing shows around Melbourne, really. Like that's kind of it. But it's been a great, joyous time. We've loved every second of it.
Yeah. No. And yeah, 'cause you guys have quite a like complex sound, like you've got strings, also like brass instruments as well. What are all of your music backgrounds? How did that happen? Because I feel like it creates quite a, you guys have a very unique sound, I'd say, just because of the amount of different instruments you guys play.
Thank you for saying that, firstly. I think that's what everyone kind of strives for, but at least all of us. I think everyone kind of had a different upbringing with music. Paddy, our drummer, is like a wizard and is an incredible jazz drummer and studies jazz here in Melbourne and is just playing all the time. Henry and Joe used to, who kind of play bass and synth and stuff, they used to play trumpet together in high school. And Ari, our guitarist, used to just make beats and just play a little bit of guitar. Like it's all kind of, and Sass was like trained in violin when she was younger, but it's all kind of these various different areas of commitment to learning. I play guitar, but I never really had lessons or whatever. And kind of Ari's kind of the same. And then it kind of goes from this spectrum of training and, but all kind of different like listening upbringings as well, and different tastes that kind of come together to kind of make mainly quite sad music. So I think like the unity between us all is maybe a shared sadness or something that we want to like let out into the world. But that's probably the closest that it is, I think. I think everything musically is quite separate.
I mean, yeah, no, actually, that kind of tracks. I feel like sadness kind of brings people together in a weird way, like shared experience.
Sadness is joyous in heaps of different ways,
That's such a beautiful way to look at it. I like that. That's so great. Yeah, so what does your writing process look like then, especially like the instrumental line? Are you guys like all kind of, like how does the song start from start to finish? What does that writing process look
Well,
like?
it's funny. It's changed recently. We've just kind of finished writing the basis of an album. And that was kind of interesting work, like leaning more into like beats music, and having different people like coming up with something quite individual. But when it comes to everyone kind of committing to like, or finding the kind of sound or soul of the whole song. It's usually us all together. We all kind of have to be together to do it.
Right.
Because, you know, Saskia, our violin player, can play something like a line out of nowhere while we're all playing, and just that can just like wipe the whole thing clean.
Right.
And be like, okay, no, let's focus on that, or vice versa. Usually it kind of starts with a general idea, a bass line or a beat or something. And from there, it has to be kind of all of us at once laying down demo tracks just together, 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 and just really kind of quickly.
Yeah.
And then from there, we'd like kind of fine tune it, but it all has to be us together. I think none of us really write parts for each other, at least not anymore. It doesn't really seem to work anymore. We're all too proud. we can't take anything from anyone else, but yeah, it's nice. It's been a really nice process, especially recently, just everyone coming in with the same ideas and kind of mindset when making music. It's been awesome, actually.
It's so cool.
No, go on.
It's so cool that you are so collaborative. I feel like it really comes out in the final product, because it does. It's really, really cohesive, and I feel like no one's ever really dominating in your, like, instrumental. Like,
oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah, yeah. It's like there's like a lot of push and pull between everything. It's so great.
Yeah, thanks.
But recently, so your last single that we're, the whole reason everyone's here today, Dragons.
Feels
like a very different direction from your earlier releases. Was there anything that kind of influenced that? Because it's, I feel like you've gone very much into the more post-punk realm with this latest single.
Yeah, that was funny. It was kind of, I guess we'd just, usually the songs that we'd had before that we'd released had been, we'd been sitting on for at least a while and recorded and kind of, you know. Whereas this one, we kind of just wrote it and we just thought it was really fun and exciting. And we just went straight into the studio and recorded it. But that was kind of out of a whim. It wasn't kind of anything intentional about being like, okay, now we got to stray into like a post-punky sound.
Yeah.
We just wanted to make something really kind of loud and obnoxious and pretty intense. And we kind of wanted to... make it kind of grab people a little bit, I guess. We played it live a few times and people seemed to really, really like it as well. And so yeah, we just thought we'd go in as quickly as possible, get it recorded and get kind of different sounds in there as well. We were using congas and baritone saxophone and kind of, I think Patty had a cowbell for a second there or something like that. And and with that kind of, we just wanted to make it, make something really kind of loud and nasty rather than, and focus on that side of things for a bit rather than a really kind of atmospheric kind of environment, I guess, of sound maybe. Yeah.
Loud and nasty. That's a really good way to describe the single.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
I feel it's cool though. I feel like a lot of bands that are in this kind of space actually have backgrounds that come through the jazz schools. I think even here, Ringlets, a local band, like they also have backgrounds in like jazz musicians, and I don't know. I think there's a real like that skill that comes from, you know, having to be able to improvise and kind of play a whole bunch of instruments just really amplifies and makes, I guess, something that maybe people think maybe rock music or punk music is less intricate, but that background makes it really like you get a really big difference, and there's so much like skill and technique that goes into it, which is just, it's really beautiful.
Yeah. I also think it's kind of a really good way. I mean, you know, half of us don't really have that knowledge, but it's a really good way of, they're really good at communicating. I think people who have that kind of upbringing in that musical space, I guess, totally. It's much easier to convey ideas when you don't have the same kind of terminology, because they kind of can figure out a little bit easier what you're saying, and it becomes a lot more collaborative.
That's so cool.
I
wanted to ask, I feel like, because a lot of musicians based in Tāmaki Makaurau, the city that we live in is very like collaborative and really impacts, I feel like, the way a lot of musicians operate. Do you find there's a similar sort of thing happening in Nam?
Yeah, here in Nam, it's kind of like, it seems like it's a, since like the early 80s, it seems like it's a city that kind of has kind of built itself for young people on having a scene of some kind. And that's a great, it's like a great, really great thing. Like, we've met a lot of lovely people through playing and everyone is so supportive and there's kind of things on all the time. And on each kind of bill that are always, always on, and all these small venues really get around it as well. Cause it's kind of all of their foot traffic is from young people like us coming around. But, this, it seems like every bill has kind of this wide array of music. Like you can go to like a pub and see like a trip hop set and then a rap set afterwards. And then DJs. Yeah. But then other times it's kind of like really intense noise. And then, you know, us playing afterwards with horns and violin, and then kind of, you know, it's this kind of thing that every sound is kind of based, comes from this early aesthetic of kind of, I don't know, maybe it's this punk thing of Nick Cave or something, because he used to kick it about here or whatever in the birthday party. But it's kind of, everything is based on this like old nostalgia for punk music, but it's just split off in all these different directions, it seems. But kind of the general core of it is the same, which is like, just make what you want to make. And if you're true to it, I guess people will support it. And yeah, it's really lovely and kind of a really nice space to be a part of. I guess any scene or community that makes you feel heard or included is always a nice thing to be a part of, if, I guess, if you have the right beliefs.
So gorgeous. Okay, things that are kind of less gorgeous. The music video,
It's horrifying.
So grotesque. I love it. It's great. I had to look away though. I'm not great with horror. I was just like, no, in a good way. I feel like that was the point, was it not?
Yeah.
Did you want to describe? That's really good to
hear. I mean, yeah. Someone said it was kind of like, my sister's friend said it was like Peaky Blinders in the Eureka Stockade or something. It's like, I don't know. We took a lot of heavy inspiration from, you know, old Australiana classics like Waking Fright and stuff. And then just made a monster movie, I guess. And I guess I'd turn into this grotesque pollution zombie monster, and it just gets worse and worse. Yeah. And I get chased down by the townsfolk, with lanterns and pickaxes and stuff hanging off the side of a ute. But yeah, it is pretty, I thought it was going to be quite like quite over the top and kind of camp when we kind of initially were making it, and then we watched it back when it was kind of finished and edited, and kind of showed all of our parents, and all of our mums were like, this is really sad and horrifying, you know. It was really like, this is really full on, and well, okay. But I'm glad to hear that you had to look away.
I mean, I don't know how you filmed that and said, yeah, camp. I mean, maybe the flip phones are a bit camp. The flip phones are like pitch books in a ute, but like,
yeah.
Girl, you're freaking.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe got a twisted idea of what camp is. But and I ended up breaking a few ribs filming that, and someone dislocated their finger. It was cursed. Oh. There was so much stuff going on.
Oh, well. I don't think
shows.
Susan Sontag had you in contemplation when she wrote that essay. No. But great, great video. And I feel like it did you just kind of want to make it, or did it have anything to do with the song at all?
No, well, it kind of, I mean, the song lyrically, I think, is quite literal. Maybe it's just, the song kind of became, the more I was writing it out, just kind of this story of like mass pollution netting, just kind of growing limbs basically and moving around. But, and we just kind of wanted to make a video that reflected that with the theme of kind of old nostalgia and stuff.
Yeah.
We're talking to our friend Finn, who's a director who also did this awesome work for this band Dumbhead from Melbourne, who are fantastic, but you know, he really kind of brought it out. But I guess, yeah, we wanted to have the general theme of it being this kind of horrific fear, like town folk, Edward Scissorhands kind of fear thing, you know. But and yeah, I guess I turn into, instead of it being kind of from the ocean, I guess me as a person, I turn into the pollution monster from the get-go.
True.
And I end up with all covered in latex and liquid latex and it's gross.
Well, yeah. It is. I don't know
how disgusting.
It's gross, but I think it's good to hear that that was the creative direction.
Yeah.
Okay, I reckon let's listen to the track.
And cool, awesome.
The listeners should go watch the music video.
Not after dark,
but it's great.
Cover your eyes.
No, cover your eyes. Hey, yeah. George, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure, Al. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This is Dragnets by Shock Corridor.
BFM.
I'm going to throw the brick in.